This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting muslimcentral.com/donate.
Messengers, sinless are only the Prophet and messengers. Sahaba commit sins. And that's why they differ when it comes to levels. They differ. So all the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are companions. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and there were over 100,000 companions. And those companions obviously differ when it comes to status. And the greatest companion out of all companions, and the greatest man after all prophets and messengers, is the man that we'll be talking about tonight and next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and that is Abdullah ibn Quhafa. Who's Abdullah ibn Quhafa? Abdullah ibn Quhafa is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His original name is Abdullah, and his father's name is Uthman. And his father was known to be Abu Quhafa, and he was blind. Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the greatest human being after the prophets and messengers. So after the prophets and messengers, the greatest human being after them is Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. If not the number one greatest human being, amongst the greatest of human beings. Because someone might debate and say, what about Maryam? Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam alayhi salam, she wasn't a prophet messenger. Is she greater than Abu Bakr? Possible. So if he's not the greatest, he's in the top. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But he's the greatest man out of all men after the prophets and messengers alayhim salam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first to enter Islam. And that's why he has that great status. He was the first to enter Islam. And he's from the people of Quraysh. As I mentioned, his name is Abdullah. And most Muslims do not know Abu Bakr as Abdullah. But that's his original name. His name is Abdullah. His father's name is Uthman. His grandfather's name is Amr. His grandfather's name is Amr bin Ka'b bin Sa'd bin Taym bin Murrah. And he meets with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam great-grandfather Murrah. So Abu Bakr is from Quraysh. Abu Bakr is from Quraysh. Quraysh is the principal, the main tribe in Mecca. But within Quraysh is the great-grandfather. His name is Quraysh. He had a number of children, then the family split. So they all identified themselves to be Quraysh, but different factions, different branches. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the branch of Abd Manaf or Hashim. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from a different branch. So him and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam derived from the same family tree. They're both Arabs, they're both from Mecca, and they both originate from Quraysh. And they were only 3 years apart. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born 3 years after the year of the elephant, which brought him very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they were close in age and close in character. The nobility of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the prophecy Abu Bakr had. Yes, not to the level of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the prophecy, he was noble. Abu Bakr was also noble. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the prophecy was well-mannered. And Abu Bakr was also well-mannered. And again, not to the level of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're talking about the character here. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was forbearant before the prophecy. Abu Bakr was forbearant. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a good reputation amongst his people before the prophecy. And Abu Bakr had a good reputation amongst his people before the prophecy too. Which made the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr to be like-minded. And that's why they became friends and mates. Because they think alike. They have very similar characteristics. You know, when someone is well-mannered, they can't hang out with people with bad manners. When someone has, you know, a certain mindset, a mindset of respect and tolerance and understanding and helping others, they will struggle to hang out with criminals and thugs. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously by default, never had that character, never hanged out with anyone or surrounded himself with those people. Abu Bakr was a like-minded man to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never hanged out with bad-mannered people, with thugs, with abusive people. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were very close to in age, and they were also close in character. Close in character. They were like-minded. They understood each other. They had the same demeanor, the same character, the same understanding. Obviously, I'm not saying 100%, but with difference, but they were on the same understanding. Respect and manners and tolerance and understanding. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a successful merchant before the prophecy, before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the revelation. And he was loved by the people of Quraysh. And they liked his character. He was known to be respectful. Respectful. And you know, people like respectful people. People like respectful people. Abu Bakr was known to be respectful, kind, nice, you know. He wasn't a rough person, tough person. Different, you know. That roughness and toughness you hear in the seerah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that we'll be talking about later on. Abu Bakr was very similar to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his character. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had him as his closest friend. And Abu Bakr had this interest in the background of family trees and heritage, which is something Arabs love. They love to know, okay, the name of not your grandfather and great-grandfather. They'll get 10, 20, 30 great-grandfathers. That's why it's been preserved. Now, you ask someone, what's your name, this? What's your dad's name? If they know, they'll mention. What's your grandfather's name? Maybe out of 10, 5. What's the name of great-grandfather? I'm talking, a lot of them don't get it. I'm not talking about the non-Muslims. I'm talking about the Muslims here. Like, you know, you ask kids, do you know the name of your great-grandfather? They'll get stuck. That's like, you know, a taboo back then. You'll know 10 of your great-grandfathers. And it's not only something they used to know, it's something they used to boast about. It's like a knowledge, you know? It's like, you know, when someone's got an art, it's like an art to know the family trees, their background, where they began, where they ended. Now, alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of that, but it's all, you know, encyclopedia, Wikipedia, it's all information online. Back then, it was all here. It was all memorized. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a lot of interest in knowing the family trees of the Arabs and understanding that, which gives him a good insight of the Arab tribes, you know, to understand who's who and what tribe is what, and where they live, and their mindset. When you have the understanding socially, it takes you far. It takes you far to understand the different tribes and families. And as I mentioned, he was a very successful merchant, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before the prophecy, which made him to be independent. He wasn't reliant on other people to earn his income. He wasn't reliant on working for others to earn his income. And when you have the independence, it takes you far. When you have the independence, it does contribute a lot in progressing in your life. When you are dependent on others, you'll always be limited. You'll always be dictated. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a merchant, a businessman, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Abu Bakr was more into it than the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to trade with the money and the wealth of his wife, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She was a businesswoman, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contributed to it. Abu Bakr, that was his core business. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a merchant, But you can't really say it was his core business. No, it wasn't his core business. It was something that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was doing. It was something the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was earning income from. But it wasn't like the core thing of the main lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or I'll rephrase that, probably was the only income the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was getting out of. But it wasn't his core thing. It's like a Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do like a side thing. It's like, you know, just he does it enough for him to earn an income. Because, you know, you're talking about a man that Allah's preparing for the prophecy. So when you've got that character, their interest towards money will be diverted away from it towards something bigger. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is getting prepared for the prophecy. Abu Bakr is different. Abu Bakr, the business and buying and selling and trading was his main core interest. He had a lot of interest in that. He wasn't the wealthiest, of course, amongst the people of Quraysh, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu with wealth, that he was wealthy enough to be independent and wealthy enough to make others rely on him. That's why when he embraced Islam, we all know that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu donated a lot of his wealth to Islam, to the point that he donated all his wealth at the end for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was a very close friend of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before Islam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to call, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam first received the revelation, he was not ordered to call. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make the call came later. Ya ayyul mudathir qum fa anzir, or the one that's covered with blanket, get up and call. Get up and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to go out in the open and call. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his call discreet. So you call the close ones to you. For the first 3 years, the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was discreetly. It was a discreet da'wah. It was to the close ones, to the people that you know, the ones that you trust. That was the first 3 years of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which there's a lot of lessons that we can learn out of the first phase of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the secret and discreet da'wah. You know, just because you're on the haqq, it doesn't mean you go and scream and shout. Just because you're on the haqq, it doesn't mean that's it. It's all out. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the haqq, and he's the haqq himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his prophecy and his risala, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took it step by step, discreetly. The first 3 years, it was a discreet da'wah. And the wisdom behind it is that if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does come out in the open, aggressively, and says, "I am the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, and you must follow me," and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been shut down from the very beginning. The people of Quraysh would have turned against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would have even given the opportunity for him to bring one person to the deen. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the first phase of his da'wah in the first 3 years, discreetly, slowly, slowly. And because of that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not trust anyone more than Abu Bakr to be the first contact point where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached out to him and told him, "I am the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah." There's something amazing about that moment when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and told him that, "I am the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, every single person that I had spoken to about Islam was hesitant in my da'wah, was hesitant in my prophecy. Except Abu Bakr. When I called him to Allah, that very moment I called him to Allah, he embraced Islam without any hesitance. SubhanAllah, every single person the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to Islam was hesitant. It could be 1% hesitance. Could be that 1% where people were reluctant to become Muslims because, you know what? He seems to be genuine. He seems to be legit. He seems to be a prophet and messenger. But what about if? Could be 1%. 1%. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every single person I called to Islam, was hesitant and reluctant in my da'wah, even if it's a small percentage, except Abu Bakr. When I called him to Islam, there was no hesitance at all. No hesitance at all. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the first thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does is invite Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be the first man to embrace Islam. Man. Because the first human being to embrace Islam was his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was the first human being. And amongst the people that embraced Islam was his household. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first male to embrace Islam, but he wasn't a man at that time. He was still a child under the age of adulthood. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first man to embrace Islam. And he embraced Islam without any hesitation. That's it. And you could imagine why. You know when you know someone too well? When they say something, you know if it's true or not. Like when I know you, and I know who you are, and I've been traveling with you, and I know how poor you are, and then you turn around and say, you know, I'm a multimillionaire. I'm going to say this. And I know you very well. The other day I bought you a sandwich because you didn't even have a dollar in your pocket. I had to show you out. I know you. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hanged out with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He traveled with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sat with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I am the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, straight away Abu Bakr thought about it and said, man, this is a man I've known for years. I've never ever picked up on him lying. The man never lies on the smallest of things. He's going to come along something big like this. I know Muhammad. I've ate with him. I've sat with him. I've hanged out with him. I've traveled with him. I've spoken to him. He's spoken to me. I've laughed with him. We communicated. And now he's saying something that big. I know this man. He doesn't muck around. You know when you know someone, that's it, you know him. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him something not so big, the biggest, what's bigger than being a prophet and a messenger? That's the biggest call. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, I am the prophet and the messenger of Allah, like I said, I believe you. I know you too well. I know you too well for you if you wanted to muck around or lie or fabricate or, you know, or come up with a stupid theory like this. You know when you know someone? You know when you know someone too well and you know they come up with stupid things and then they come and talk to you, your friend, they come and talk to you and then, oh no, you may always make up those stupid things. Abu Bakr knows the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He knows the character of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's not a character that says something stupid or makes up something stupid or trying to pull my leg, for example, or mucking around or lies or maybe he's lost the plot. I know him too well. I know Muhammad too well. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr, I am the Prophet and Messenger of Allah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and you are the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. That's it. I know you. No one knows you more than me. I know you. You don't muck around. I know when you say something, you mean it. I know you're too dignified for you to make up a lie. I know you're too noble for you to say something stupid. I know you. Subhanallah, this goes a long way. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first to embrace Islam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka rasulullah. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr to invite those that Abu Bakr trusts. Invite those that you trust. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu went and brought with him six people. Amongst those six people, Uthman bin Affan, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, the 10 known Mubashareen fil Jannah, those that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had guaranteed the Jannah. And the reason that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu spoke to him because Abu Bakr also trusts them. They knew the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before the prophecy, but Abu Bakr was the closest one to him. And when it comes out of Abu Bakr, it's different than when it comes out of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So even it shows you how strategic and smart the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. In life, it doesn't matter how much authority you might have, there's a limit to how far you could push things. Sometimes you need to get someone else to say it. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very smart in doing so. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sometimes would do things himself, and sometimes would ask Abu Bakr to do it or say it, or Umar ibn Khattab to do it or say it, or maybe a different companion, different than Abu Bakr and Umar, to do it or say it. Why? Because not just because you are a man of authority doesn't mean you could say everything anytime. Everything has a limit. Even the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah, something to learn. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go and invite people. Abu Bakr went and came with 6 people. You know that scenario, to me, it's also fascinating. Why? Because I always ask myself that question. How much knowledge in Islam did Abu Bakr have at that moment? He just became a Muslim. How much knowledge did he have in Islam? I guarantee you, the least one amongst us in understanding Islam knew more than Abu Bakr at that time when he became Muslim. What did he know? Ashhadu an la ilallah wa anna Muhammadan abdu wa rasul. More than that, still doesn't know much. But yet, that didn't stop him from doing da'wah. That didn't stop him from going and inviting other people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Da'wah doesn't need a lot of knowledge. Yes, it's ideal that you have a lot of knowledge, but you preach according to what you know. And whatever you don't know, I don't know. Simple. Ana la ilaha illallah, ana Muhammadur Rasulullah, and that's it. Preach that. I always think about it, and subhanAllah, what knowledge did Abu Bakr have at that moment when he embraced Islam? He didn't know much. He just knew, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Na fatiha na qulullah had qul adhu rabbi, fala qul adhu rabbi. He didn't know any of that. That didn't exist at that time. And yet, that didn't stop him from calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was the first man to embrace Islam. He was known as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The reason that he was called as-Siddiq, which is important for us to know why he was called as-Siddiq, he was not nicknamed as as-Siddiq till years later. So the first 8 years of Islam, Abu Bakr was known as Abu Bakr. He was known as Abu Bakr. Until the Isra' wal Mi'raj. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the Isra' wal Mi'raj, the night journey and the ascension, the night journey and ascension, obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from this journey. And what's this journey? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to the 7th heaven and above, and came back. He did all that within moments. Just seconds, minutes, if not seconds, of the night. Logically, yes, it doesn't make sense. If you want to get from here to the entrance of the Umayyah, the entrance of the center, it's going to take you a minute. How does it make sense that the Prophet Muhammad also went from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to the 7th heaven and above, and then he came back? Like, come on, that doesn't make sense. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with this great miracle. And this great miracle is the miracle of Isra' and Mi'raj. Some of the scholars say it is the second greatest miracle after the Quran Kareem. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on this great miracle. In few moments of the night, he went from Mecca to Jerusalem, 7th heaven and above, then came back to Jerusalem, back to Mecca. The very next day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called his people and told them about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown him. Like a beautiful journey. Obviously, to the non-believers, when they heard that, like, they don't have iman. There's no way they could understand the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You need iman to understand this. The reason that we submit, understand and believe 100% is because we have iman. We have iman in Allah, and we have iman that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. Otherwise, there's no way I could believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a human being, went from Mecca to Jerusalem, Jerusalem to the seventh heaven. There's no way I'm going to believe that. The reason that we have 100% firm belief is because we have something called Iman. So those with no Iman, the disbelievers, obviously they pushed back on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, no way. Mate, you've lost the plot. Yes, they were making mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you are claiming that he went from Mecca to Jerusalem and the seventh heaven above and came back. It takes us 2 months to get to Jerusalem and 2 months return. You are saying all this happened in the middle of the night and you came back? You're a crazy man. And that's exactly what they were saying about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's crazy. At that moment, obviously the non-believers took advantage of this to turn people against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even Muslims and believers during that time, their iman started to shake. They just found it too hard to believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went from Mecca to Jerusalem, Jerusalem to the seventh heaven, and came back. Like, it was too much for them to understand. So the non-believers were totally against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the believers, their iman was shaken. So obviously the non-believers and the enemies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took advantage of it. And the advantage that they took of it is they start to work against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by turning people against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And amongst those people that approached Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, they went to Abu Bakr and said to him, did you hear what your friend is saying? Have you heard what your mate is saying? Your friend is saying that he went from Mecca to Jerusalem to the seventh heaven and returned back, all this in the middle of the night. He did that only within a small time or a small period of time in the middle of the night. Like, you know, do you believe that, Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr said, Muhammad said that? They said, yes. He said, by Allah, if he said that, I believe him, and I even believe him more. If Muhammad said that, I believe him and I believe even more. That's when he was called a Siddiq. A Siddiq. The honest. Honest and truthful. He was honest and truthful for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So up until the Isra and Mi'raj journey, Abu Bakr was known as Abu Bakr. When he was confronted by the people of Quraysh and they were trying to turn him on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, wallahi, I believe in everything that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, and I believe that he went on that journey and he returned back. I believe that, and even more, he was nicknamed as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And he was the first to defend the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was the first to embrace Islam. He was the first to call to Islam. And he was the first to defend the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Subhanallah. No wonder why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I wanted to choose a friend and a close friend, I would have chosen Abu Bakr. You are all my friends. Look, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't want anyone to feel, you know, different or discriminated against. You're all my friends, but if I wanted to choose someone, it would have been Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. He was the first to embrace Islam. And he was the first to call to Islam. And he was the first to defend Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was the first to give for the sake of Allah. Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was the first to buy some companions who were slaves and free them. Free slaves like Abu Bakr, like Bilal and other companions that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought them from their masters and freed them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the Quran Kareem. The one that gives and frees. Frees who? Frees the slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu because he used to buy slave companions and free them for the sake of Allah. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ. Like, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking in a verse, talking about the disbelievers who don't want to give anything for the sake of Allah. And then Allah talks about the believers who give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't worry about their wealth. For the sake of freeing a slave, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of sacrificing for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. That was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So this is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was married. He got married to a number of women. Two before Islam, one or two after Islam. And he had a number of children. He had Abdullah, he had Aisha, he had Abdul Rahman. He had Asma. And he had a number of children radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he had a number of wives. And he also had a number of children. One of them is Aisha. And Aisha is the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in addition to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu being the close companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the father-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam about who's the closest person to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and who does the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam love most, one of the companions came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking him, who do you love most? He was expecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say to him, you. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very straightforward and he said, Aisha. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, O Messenger of Allah, I'm not referring to your wives. I'm referring to your companions. He said, Haddad. Haddad. O Messenger of Allah, who do you love most? He said, Aisha. That's not what I'm asking about. Obviously, you love your wife. I'm asking outside the circle of your family. Your companions, who do you love most? He said, Haddad. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And inshallah, next week we'll be talking about some of the virtues that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made mention with regards of Abu Bakr and the status of Abu Bakr. And subhanAllah, you'll be surprised how many times the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised Abu Bakr and how many times the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke highly of Abu Bakr and how many times the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about his virtues and his rewards. Amazing. This is Abdullah ibn Uthman, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. And see you next Thursday.